Worship as Adoration. This concludes the three-morning series which our pastoral staff has planned on the theme Worship. Monday it was Worship as Corporateness, Yesterday, worship as sanctification, and today, worship as adoration. This concludes the series, but of course it does not conclude our adoration. That goes on, to coin a phrase, unto the ages of the ages. For example, in the campus communion service this evening. Yes, in tonight's communion, for example, we shall hear again our Lord's command, "This do in remembrance of me." That is a cue for the boldest, most heaven-storming sort of adoration. Offhand, it may not sound like adoration. To be quite frank, it may sound rather like a plea from a lonesome, forsaken Jesus who, on the eve of his death, is afraid his disciples might soon forget him. "This do in remembrance of me" sounds like, after I'm dead and gone, why not get the old gang together now and then and think of me, will you please? In fact, his command, "This do in remembrance of me," hardly sounds like a command at all. Instead, it sounds like a dying man's request for a wake. And no doubt that is all that the Lord's Supper has meant to many a dispirited, unadoring communicant. But what all this assumes, very mistakenly, is that it is we who are to remember him. Really, the one who is to remember him is God. It is God who must remember his own merciful promise to Abraham and to his seed forever. God who must remember that Thursday evening Passover in the upper room as the last supper of the old age and the first of many in the new. God who must remember this sacrificial lamb with power and wisdom and glory. God who must finally vindicate this lamb by sending him back to us, both now and at his final return, to establish his revolution forever. On Passover evening, the celebrants always prayed this prayer, "Our God and God of our fathers, may there arise and come the remembrance of us and the remembrance of our fathers, and the remembrance of the Messiah, son of David, thy servant." See how boldly Jesus translates this messianic reference into remembrance of me. The prayer continues, "May their remembrance come before thee for rescue, before thee, our God and God of our fathers. This do for God's remembrance of me, for your rescue." What we are commanded is quite simply, do this. Do what? Together to break this bread and bless this cup, to share his body and his blood. By so doing, we storm heaven, adoring the Lamb that was slain for us, reminding God in all boldness and confidence to return him to us once and for all time. Maranatha. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Until he comes means not if and when he ever comes, but rather until he simply has got to come. Of course there's someone home. Keep ringing the doorbell until they answer. Keep doing this. Keep sharing the bread and the cup, his body and blood, until God so remembers his promise that the Lamb comes forever. But that requires the bold faith of adoration and a Lamb who is worthy of it. And therefore, we read responsively the Dignus Est Agnus in the hymnal, page 122. Let us rise. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom,
strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne,
and unto the Lamb forever and ever.
Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty.
Just and true are thy ways, thou King of Saints.
Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name?
For thou only art holy.
Praise our God, all ye his servants.
And ye that fear him most, all and great.
Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Alleluia, alleluia, amen.
The same Passover celebration concluded with the singing of the Hallel, Blessed be he who enters in the name of the Lord. And who is he who enters in the name of the Lord? In the period of late Judaism, this was interpreted messianically. The Hallel would someday be sung by the Passover pilgrims as they welcomed into the holy city the promised coming one, the anointed deliverer. It is that Hallel, then, which does accompany our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The only gospel lesson, by the way, to appear twice in the church year, on Palm Sunday and on the first Sunday in Advent. And that Hallel appears also in our communion liturgy, in the Sanctus. To sing it, as we do, is to proclaim that he, of whose final coming we remind God in this supper, does already come in anticipation of the end in this very supper for the forgiveness of our sins. This is cause for adoring. The Sanctus, page 26.
If it truly be right and sound, good heavenly, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
hymns of adoration appear not only in our celebration of the Holy Communion each week, but daily in the order of matins. I'm thinking of the Te Deum Laudamus, and that reminds me of an experience a few years back. We were sitting in Orchestra Hall in Chicago, listening to the Robert Shaw Chorale sing Johann Sebastian Bach's B minor Mass. Actually, we sat only part of the time. The rest of the time, the audience was on its feet, applauding and cheering and almost bringing down the house. For example, when the chorus sang that passage from the Nicene Creed, Et resurrexit, and on the third day he rose again. Even before the echo of the chorus had died, the rafters were ringing with applause. People were shouting, Bravo! And those of us who were less at home with Italian simply abandoned our dignity and shouted, hurrah. Then came a second wave of applause, as though we had suddenly recognized what it was we were really applauding. The way people sometimes laugh at a joke in two stages, first on impulse and then because they actually get the point. What were we applauding? Why, we were no longer applauding Robert Shaw and his choir, and they themselves seemed to recognize that by the way they hesitated to acknowledge our applause. We were not even applauding Bach. The applause and the loud cheers were for God. What we were shouting, if you'll permit me, was Bravo for God, Hooray for Jesus the Lord, who has risen from the dead. And come to think of it, that is someone to shout about. I'll not ask you to shout or to whistle, though I'm tempted to, and I suspect you are too. But in a way that comes most naturally to our middle-class enthusiasm, may I ask you, before we sing the Te Deum, at least to applaud.
The gifts we possess differ as they are allotted to us by God's grace and must be exercised accordingly. the gift of inspired utterance, for example, in proportion to a man's faith, or the gift of administration in administration. A teacher should employ his gift in teaching, and one who has the gift of stirring speech should use it to stir his hearers. If you give to charity, give with all your heart. If you are a leader, exert yourself to lead. If you are helping others in distress, do it cheerfully. Love in all sincerity, loathing evil and clinging to the good. Let love for our brotherhood breed warmth and mutual affection. Give pride of place to one another in esteem. With unflagging energy and ardor of spirit, serve the Lord. Let hope keep you joyful. In trouble, stand firm, persistent prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and practice hospitality. Call down blessings on your persecutors, blessings, not curses. With a joyful, be joyful and mourn with the mourners. Have equal regard for one another. Do not be haughty, but go about with humble folk. Do not keep thinking how wise you are. Never pay back evil for evil. Let your aims be such as all men count honorable. If possible, so far as it lies with you, live at peace with all men. My dear friends, do not seek revenge, but leave a place for divine retribution. For there's a text which reads, "Justice is mine, says the Lord, I will repay." But there is another text. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. By doing this, you will heap live coals on his head. Do not let evil conquer you, but use good to defeat evil. Amen. Now may that grace, which goes before and follows after us, keep us this day continually to do good works, to the glory of his name. Amen.